It's an honor to be here today with you guys. When I was asked, I was definitely blessed with the opportunity, though it does get nerve-wracking, but, you know, I do jiu-jitsu, so I fight a lot. So this definitely gets my nerves going more than fighting, if you believe it or not, especially if the guy's 300 pounds. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 25. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds as and glorify God on the day He visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who were sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we may die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and to be able to speak your truth among fellow believers. Lord, I'm so grateful for this, and I just want to be able to proclaim your name in the right way. So please guide me as I do so, and please guide everybody that I'm, what I say, it hits home. Thank you, Christ. Amen. All right. So, how many times have we heard the phrase, patience is a virtue? In a world where everything comes in an instant, with instant messengers or instant oatmeal, or fast downloadable content for your phones, or even fast food, I can imagine there's someone in the McDonald's line who's screaming that they didn't get their burger in about 5 minutes. I have a story about patience as virtue by Richard Nana Yao Atwe. Patience is one of the greatest virtues to possess as we seek greatness. It expresses, in other words, as forbearance, tolerance, persistence, fortitude, serenity, and perseverance. Let me share this funny but true story. I visited my dad one vacation, and I had an internship where I had an internship. One day after work, I decided to take the lead home. I guess that means taxi because this guy's from Britain. But one day after work, I decided to take the lead home because my dad had to work late. I took a taxi with a man in the front seat who seemed to be getting along with the driver. My first impression was they were friends. Two more ladies joined the cab. As we moved, we got stuck in traffic. The traffic was moving so slow, quite a number of people got down from their cars to walk. We were about 100 meters away from the main street. The gentleman in the front seat suggested to the driver that they should use the side road, like most drivers do, and join the mainstream later in the front, which he also did. Just a few meters more to the main street, a flashing light started waving. The driver stopped. It was the police. Long story short, instead of booking the driver, the policeman took his license and told him to reverse to the end of the line and join in again for his license. This was about five times what they were left with if they had stayed in the line. As selfish as we all were as the passengers, we all got down, including the gentleman in the front. We walked to the main street to get a car, leaving the driver to endure the punishment alone. Patience is not about doing nothing, but taking time to ensure the steps that you are taking the right and precise. A little impatience can cause you to restart in life, farther than you were when you were started. And don't forget that the very people we think that are with us will leave and join another cab while moving on, while we suffer retrogression alone. You cannot get chickens by hatching an egg. You can get chickens by hatching eggs, not by smashing them. Arnold Gaslow was a quote from that. So the driver in the story listened to the guy in the passenger seat who the initial guy thought was his friend. So he tried to take a shortcut. Has anybody been on 87 and seen those cars zoom by on the side? Well, that would suck to suffer by yourself after everybody gets out. One time my brother, we were all playing basketball in the yard, and he lost the game. He got very angry, took the basketball, kicked it, and it went right through my parents' bedroom bathroom window. Now, if you know my dad, that is a no-no. So everybody who was in the driveway with him ran when that happened. My brother sat there, put his head down, and walked inside the house, and I think we all know what happened after that. But my brother took a little bit of patience after that. I doubt he would have kicked that ball again. So, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers of this world. I know Peter's talking about us as aliens and strangers because we're all a part of God's people. You got to understand that part because I think that's a major detail just as the beginning of reading this. But, like, how could God's people be strangers in this world? I know we've all heard the phrase that this is a fallen world, so you got to realize that no matter what, you're looking at popular culture, you're looking at some kind of movie, some kind of something, that's not really us. Us is in here. Us is in this book. That's what God is talking to us through. You know, we are a part of God's kingdom, so, I mean, that's what he means by we're strangers to this world. So we have to try to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against our soul. That's what Peter says. That's a lot harder than easier, because like anything, the evil one wants to knock us back every time we start taking a couple steps forward. I guess, like, if you look at a basketball game, if you got a team buried by 10 points, you don't want them getting 3.3.3 because they're going to get closer and closer to tying up and even passing you. I think the evil one wants to keep us back. He doesn't want us to try to get a couple steps forward. He wants to keep knocking us back so we keep falling back into the same sin. Being a Christian is not easy. Every day is a single battle. I know you heard addicts and drunks talk about the same thing. Every day is a constant battle. And we have to stick together in order to do that. We have to look into the Word for His guidance. It's the only ways we can do something like that. Or we can, Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. It's the word of the day. Bearing one another in love. We got to live as examples of God's people to people around us. I think that's the only way you'll lead people in. Look at how Christ lived his life in the last days. He was betrayed, slandered, put to death while staying humble and trusting God's plan. Now, that's a lot to say in one sentence, because if you know that all these things are going to happen to you, it's not going to be easy to sit there and just take it and trust the plan, trust the process. I don't even want to throw a joke on that, but like, you got to trust the process. Christ trusts the process, and we have to use him as an example when it comes to things like that. Have your prayers ever been answered in God's timing and not ours? This week I lost my AirPods. Oh. I was freaking out all week long. Those little $150 earbuds. So I looked everywhere. I even cleaned out my car. I cleaned out my locker at work. I went back to the park because you had to find my iPhone app so it could tell you where it was last used. So I kept checking the park every day because it said it was at the park. It wasn't at the park. But I think Wednesday night, I was looking at my phone. I went right to the Best Buy app, instant information. I was going to buy a new set of AirPods. My wife would have been very upset. She would have been very angry if I did that. But I was this close to hitting buy. I didn't do it. The next day, she found them behind the TV. God's timing is always perfect. And if we trust it and live good lives around us, it is proof that the Lord's people will bring light to those around us. My wife is a perfect example. Well, submit yourselves to the Lord's sake to every authority instituted amongst men, whether to a king or as a supreme authority. What makes it possible for us to submit ourselves? I think it is that we have a righteous God who is going to judge the unjust. You think about a guy who's in the mafia and he has the judge paid off. So he just got arrested and he's going to get tried for murder. But he's like, that's all right, I'm going to get out of this. God's not like that. God is going to judge the unjust. Joseph in Genesis, he had to trust God's process. He was sold into slavery and ended up having his brothers kneel before him. It's not an easy process to trust. And it's easy for me to say, but you have to live it. That's what I mean. Every day is a battle. Every single day. You're going to get hit with things. You're going to see things that tempt you to do things. It's going to be all around us. Every single day. Try being on a diet and working at a fast food place. Jesus trusting God's plan his entire life was definitely a major, there's so many bits and pieces of his life. There's too much to grasp at once. And if it wasn't too much, then everybody would be able to go through the Bible and understand everything. But I guarantee you, I won't understand everything in here, but I will surely try my hardest. Men wanted to stone the woman for committing adultery, and Jesus patiently, he looks down and he confronts him and says, well, if you guys haven't sinned, then by all means, go ahead, follow the law of Moses. Everybody sins, so that they all walked away. I work for a small government. I work for the village, so. When you hear people say, respect authority, not many people respect when you get a parking ticket. You kind of see the worst of them when you do that. But to me, I know that that's the worst of them, so I don't judge them on that. I just try to be very calm and understanding. Last week I got yelled at by a lady. She was yelling at me because I wrote another car a ticket that wasn't hers. And I don't know how I got the butt end of this, but she was just screaming. She was, how could you do this? How could you do this? And I said, ma'am. he was causing an infraction. If a fire truck came around the corner, the truck would have not been able to make it. So, I wrote the ticket. I walked away. Under my breath, I may have said a couple things that I definitely had to repent for, but I did not want to show her my anger. Because just that little blip of her seeing me react, give her a reaction to her action, is going to cause, it might cause her doubt in who I really am. I use the example a lot when I'm talking to people I know. They say, Matt, you used to listen to a lot of rap and hip-hop music. If you catch me driving down the street, you won't hear me listen to that really loud. Because someone at the bus stop may hear me listening to that, and they're going to get the wrong impression about who I am now. That they may hear 50 curse words come out of my car if I'm listening to that music really loud. That's not who I am now, so I'm not going to portray that, even in the smallest instant of someone seeing me. Every day is a battle. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants to God. You can't live a double life. The world needs to see men that are holy, that are righteous, not just on Sundays or Saturdays. But when you meet others in fellowship, you gotta, like I just said, any time you bump into somebody, they're gonna get a glimpse of what a Christian is. And if you're sitting there walking around, not giving them the greatest example, look at what you're doing. Children at home versus children at school. Are you a different person than you are at home than you are at school? I used to do that day in and day out. I used to be a knucklehead in school. I used to write on desk, cut class, you name it. But would I have done that same stuff if my dad was present? Absolutely not. My teacher told me one time, because I had gotten in trouble. She's like, I want you to act in class as if your dad is sitting in the back. I didn't think it was possible. I really didn't. I struggled with that for a couple days, but I tried it towards my senior year. I started living it. And in college, when you're paying for school, you don't have a choice. Can't go around making fun of other believers. We are a team. A team sticks together. And we try to recruit. We're trying to recruit people to our team. So if we're sitting there bashing the next person for, I don't like how your jeans are, or I don't like the stupid shirt you're wearing, you suck it up. You may tell them in private, nah, you may want to choose a different color. But in front of everybody else, don't do it. You want to give it good examples. Have patience with that person. I struggle. My brother, I couldn't stand how he chewed. I can't stand how he eats. I hate when he... it's nail biting for me. But at the table, I wouldn't call him out about it because I know my other brother would start ganging up on him about it. So when we get in his room, I say, you know, when you eat cereal, close your mouth a little. Then again, it didn't work, so I ended up eating by myself a lot. That's how we show unity, though. That's how we show unity amongst people. On Facebook, that's such a vast source of where people see how you treat someone else. So many conversations are going on in Facebook. And so many things, politically, I'll agree with. But I won't advertise it on my Facebook because I don't want to start that kind of aggression where someone's going to, I can't believe he just, really, you're going to cheer for the Warriors right now? Like, yeah. Come on, I'm a dying Knicks fan. But you don't want to engage in all this stuff because there's so many conversations going around and people are going to nitpick, especially on social media. That's one of the biggest, fastest growing things I think I've ever seen in my life. You got Instagram, yeah, you're swiping through a bunch of pictures. The next thing you know, you'll see one of your friends will post something very, 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 very inappropriate. You would not show your parents what they're showing you. And, you know, do you like it? No. But you watch it? I'll unfollow somebody in a heartbeat if I see them doing something nonsense. Because I don't want to engage myself in something that's going to make me take steps back. That's what I mean. I'm not calling that person the evil one, but the evil one will use that person to do something to get you triggered. I fell into it, and it's hard to notice. One of my coworkers said to me the other day, one of my older coworkers, he was a girl walked down the street. Very beautiful young girl. And I looked absolutely the other way. My other two coworkers were gawking at her. And he's like, dude, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I know where my struggles lie. I'm not going to engage myself in that. And he was like, yeah, but if you don't bring things to the light, you know, you're just going to keep it in the darkness and it's going to come out. And I told him, by me bringing in the light is telling you that I'm struggling with something. That's why I'm keeping myself out of it. I'm not going to sit there and engage myself in it. Live as servants. It's hard. It's really hard to live as servants when we're so free. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Fear God. How many people fear God? Really? In your life? How many people you actually think fear God? I think that's an easy phrase for people to throw around because they don't really fear what they don't see. But if you've experienced miracles, then you know that God is real. So that fear should exist in your heart. You know, how can you fear someone and love someone at the same time? You ever do something wrong at home? Know that butt whooping is coming? You love your parents, but you know it's coming.
Amen.
Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. When I read this, immediately what I thought about, I borrowed a book from my mother-in-law, Uncle Tom's Cabin, and I immediately thought about Tom. Has anybody read that book before? It's a very, very harsh book dealing with slavery in American history. The main character is Tom, who's a slave. And you see this man, he deals with it in such a way that can only show you proof that he has a Christian faith. Now, I know everybody's heard of American slavery. And when you say slaves, they're telling you that you got to be... No. Forget that. But I'm telling you how this... if you read this story and you see how powerful this character was. Even Abraham Lincoln said to the Harriet Beecher Stowe, this is the little lady who started this great war, talking about the Civil War. This book kind of started getting the ball rolling for, because people started seeing how slaves were actually treated, and to see a man who was very submissive just because of his fear of God and his faith. Tom lives and dies a Christian who shows forgiveness to all who mistreated him. I mean, that is just mind-boggling. I mean, just, it's hard to think about slavery, again, when we're living in today's society. But if you think you get pulled over by a cop, I got pulled over one time, and I had a bunch of knuckleheads in my back seat. And one of the kids, when we got pulled over, the officer said, "I want to see everybody's ID." He said, "Why?" I said, "Bro, if you don't give him your ID, we're all getting pulled out this car right now." You got to, it's hard to be submissive when you know you should be. Or, I mean, you do have rights. Don't get it twisted. You do have rights as a citizen, but, you know, respect the authority at hand. They know they're there for a reason. Whatever his reason was for pulling us over, I didn't get a ticket that day. So, I mean, he had to do his job, and I respected it. For it is commendable if a man bears up under pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Like I said, you misbehave, you do something the wrong way, I go and steal something, I deserve to sit in jail. But it's that man who gets accused of doing something, who comes out of jail, and he was innocent the whole time. Those are the stories you feel compassion for. But he that knows no sin bared our sins so we may live with him and God. Christ walked that walk with the cross. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. How heavy was that cross? Is there an actual weight? I would love to figure that out or learn about that. Because unless you're lifting every day and you're like a bodybuilder, I think if you're picking up something that of that magnitude and to be that tired and to be that beaten down and that broken, how could you not want to fight back? And you have to. There has to be something greater in you to stop you from doing that. There has to be. This passage is a lot and it covers a lot of topics, but you got to understand that Christ was a lot. He was Lord. Still is. We have to look to that as an example. This life is going to throw us punches day in and day out. And it's going to come at us day in and day out. God justly. He judges justly. Not many people do. I know I've failed at it. Like I said, I write parking tickets. I have to judge every situation. Every time I write a ticket, my name goes on that ticket. That's a legal document that's going out. I have to judge the situation correctly. If I take back a ticket because some guy gave me a slice of pizza, that is wrong. And I've done it. And at the same time, the guy came to me the next week and I said, "Sorry, man. I made that mistake once. I'm not going to do it again." People do that to every level through authority. But we have to respect it because God judges justly. You know, they hurled insults at him. He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. If you've lost at something and then someone's made fun of you in your face, how have you felt afterwards? Inside, I felt like I wanted to cry. You ever play video games? You ever lose in that game? And then the person sitting next to you is smiling at you with that, "I got one on you." And if that I can't tell you how many things I've thrown in my office from playing games with that. But he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. We have to listen to him. We have to learn from him. Peter says a lot of truths through his whole writing. I think what drew me to this week to talk about this was thinking of that, was knowing that I've made these mistakes. I've been insulted and I've retaliated. I've given reactions to bad actions. I want to learn from that. I really do. If you've been in school, people have ridiculed you. I've almost been in fights in high school and have walked away because everybody was around us cheering, wanting a fight. And I walked away. Those are the instances where I know I've grown. But when someone's driving up the street and yelling at me, and under my breath I've said something I know I've lost, I have to learn to build. And if, you know, I was asked to come and speak today, but when I'm speaking, I'm speaking for what I know I need to work on. So I hope it can align with something that you're struggling with today. If you're dealing with maybe giving a reaction to things you shouldn't be giving a reaction to, maybe just like having some patience. If God can have patience with a sinner like me, then why can't I have patience with people around me? I have to learn to be stronger with that. If I'm ever sad or depressed or lonely, I don't want you to bring me to Johnny's 10-step program of how to feel better. Tell me about Christ. Tell me about what he can teach me at that moment. Tell me about a rock that is going to help me stand stronger. For one of those reasons, that's why I have to show love. I have to show love because if I've been given grace, then how can I not give it? How can I not show compassion when compassion has been shown to me? He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, so that we may die to sins and live for righteousness. If things are still pulling you back every day, you just have to look. Look at the cross. Look at those around you. Grow in spirit with them. I think seeing all you, seeing young, you know, you guys inspire me. I think maybe 2 years ago, we were doing a summer program, and I had said, you know, that used to be me. You pat me on my shoulder. You said, that's not you anymore, though. You're 1,000% right. It was not me anymore. I'm a different person who I was. I've grown. You learn to wait on God's answer to your prayers. If I had bought those AirPods before, I would have been in a heap of trouble, but I waited. And that's something minuscule, you know. it's not even something big, but there's plenty of times where there's big things that are coming. Your health, something's wrong with you. Wait on God to answer those prayers. You're waiting for, I don't know, college admissions or something. I went to a CUNY school, so it was very easy to get in. But still, waiting for my grades at the end of the semester. I'm checking my phone every 5 minutes. But I know I studied. I never studied in high school. College, when I had to pay for it, I made sure I did my studies. You know, you trust God's timing. You trust his judgment. You have patience with God, just how he has patience with you. I have a definition on waiting for God by Campbell Morgan. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until that command is given. Try to have patience. Patience for God. Patience for his timing. Because his love and grace is already there. We will suffer. We will endure. Christ says it. And being a Christian is not easy. But our persistence and our faith will show light to those around us. It will. You guys give me light every time I see you. I hear you guys jamming in here. I've never seen a room play the guitar. I've always wanted to play the guitar. Maybe one day I will, but I'll do a little country song and not Old Town Road. But that was awesome. You guys all give light. Every one of you. And I see when Amulia comes up here and makes Jade go sing with her in morning worship. That's a light. You're bringing her to it. So it's definitely... It's It's definitely amazing to see you guys have light. You guys all inspire me, and we have to have patience with it. Have to have patience, even when you're in traffic. Try to deal with it. With that, I'm going to close. Dear God, thank you for this time we've had for me to be able to speak today. Lord, I hope we can all learn from something, especially myself, with dealing with patience, waiting on your timing, and waiting for you. Because for anybody, it's hard to wait. Give us strength as Christians. Give us strength as believers. And help us be light to those who are around us, who maybe are not, or maybe seeking. Lord, we love you. Please let us enjoy this day of worship and be with us all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.